You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Woke up this morning, I was pretty fired
the
up.
Volume's picking up a little bit.
This is what you've done. This is where you can grow.
I thought today he had a really good day.
Is he making better decisions and better throws?
I'm excited about the guys that are here.
Hey,
I thought he spun the ball well. There's a really good vibe right now, and it's fun.
It's Hogan Johns.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin quarter mile.
Ready!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
The football gods are always on the Bears' shoulder.
Go Bears!
Boy, that escalated quickly.
From NBC Sports Chicago, it's Adam Ho.
Are there any signs that there's a bigger issue of disrespect? Is Jordan Love bad?
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
It's clear to me that they're going to make him earn that left tackle spot. There's some good signs there. It's okay to be excited.
It's the Adams.
The Adams converge.
Hogan Johns.
And we are underway.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another version of the Hogan Johns podcast, minus the Hog. And I'm telling you, everybody, Adam Hog is really going to miss being part of this one. Let me tell you why. First, we have Deion Miller from ABC Channel 7 in Chicago here joining us. What's up, Deion?
Hello, Adam. I'm very excited to be here. Hardly a stand-in for Hog. I'm thrilled for him and his family, but I miss him too. I miss him too.
Yeah. Adam is still home enjoying his paternity leave with his newborn daughter, Olivia, who is now home. So it's all exciting news for the Hogue family. But you're one of the many guests we've had on recently. And I want to say everyone has been an upgrade over him, or at least I'm telling myself that. I want him to hear that as I'm working my tail off.
You are, I can tell. Multitasking, driving this, and taking care of, you know, your other duties as a writer and a father. And it's a busy week. It's just a busy week. And the Bears, no shortage of news from the Bears.
Yes, it doesn't end. It doesn't end. You could check out Deion on ABC Channel 7 here in Chicago. You can also follow her on Twitter at DMillerABC. Seven. Deion, before we get to the Bears' big news of the day, speaking of home and moving homes and whatnot, let me run down everything we have to do before we get started. You can read me at theathletic.com. You can follow me at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read Adam Hogue at NBC Sports Chicago. Follow him at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E. You can check out our shirts on obviousshirts.com. You can watch us on YouTube. Please hit that subscribe button. And you can listen to us wherever you get your podcast. Please rate and review us if you can. If you're an Apple Podcast listener, please check out our bonus episodes there. And others from The Athletic, you could subscribe to them for $1 per month. I will be recording one after this, where I answer some of your questions from Twitter. Awesome. All right, Deion, it's out of the way. So how do you feel about the Arlington Heights Bears?
They will always be the Chicago Bears. I'm not sure how I feel about it, because it's been rumored for how many years that they've been looking at Arlington. They've been looking at this, and this could happen. It could be a site for them, and fans have shown some resistance, and people don't know how to feel. I don't know how to feel about it. I feel like Soldier Field on the lakefront is so iconic, right? But then you think about the logistics, Adam. You and I have been there dozens, probably you hundreds of times, right? So it's not easy to get in and out of. It certainly is not aesthetically pleasing. It doesn't have all of the upgrades that most NFL stadiums have. And the Bears do not own it. They do not own it. The city does. So when you think about that, and you think about like how much more sense and economically and for the future and for the franchise that it would make to own their own place, even if it was in Arlington and not on the lakefront, there are a lot of bonuses to that. I can get on board if it's got a retractable roof and they can control the temperature. I can get on board if they're going to be able to host a Super Bowl and they're going to be able to host a Final Four and bring more of that traffic through our city. It makes a lot of sense to me.
So let me catch everybody up. If you're not on Twitter, if you're not on social media and whatnot, the Bears are apparently very serious about moving out of Soldier Field and looking at the Arlington Park Racetrack, which is in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. If you're not familiar with it, it is this massive property that always seems to be up for sale. There's always, I don't know, financial problems with the racetrack, mm-hmm. but it's a popular destination. It's quite easy to get to if you live in the city or even, you know, various suburbs. It's pretty easy to get to because of the highways, because of the Metra, which is the trains that go to and from the suburbs in Chicago. So Ted Phillips issued a statement right after Bears practice ended. I feel like it was right after Justin Fields. Kind of like he said, thank you, have a great summer. You know, Justin Fields is signing off for the summer. Oh, by the way, the Bears aren't done. So in his statement, it says the Bears have put in a bid for Arlington Park Racecourse. And Ted Phillips, and I quote, says, it's our obligation to explore every possible option to ensure we're doing what's best for our organization and its future. If selected, this step allows us to further evaluate the property and its potential. So this is in the northwest suburbs. It's not too far from Chicago. Mm-hmm. And this is where I feel like Hoag is really going to miss out on this podcast, Deion, because he loves this topic. I mean, loves this topic of the Bears potentially moving out of Chicago into the suburbs, making his commute a lot closer. And I feel like if you're not in Chicago, you don't realize how big of a story this is.
Right.
Because this has been in headlines dating back to the 70s. And the sheer size of this property is something else. I mean, you've been out there. Arlington, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Huge out
love
there.
Love it out there. It is huge out there. And it is easy to get to. And it is, it's right off the highway. It's easy for everyone. There'd be so much more access for so many people to come in and out. And like it was pointed out on the radio today, is of course, this is very big news here in Chicago, but pointed out quickly how many teams do not play in their city. I mean, for crying out loud, the Jets and the Giants aren't even in the state of New York. They're in New Jersey. So it can't be, you can't think it's that weird. I mean, even you see that stadium in Arlington where the Cowboys play, they're not in Dallas. It's beautiful. It's unbelievable. It's
they're in Arlington
presence.
Too.
They're in Arlington too. It's such a presence, right? And everybody's like, oh, but there's not going to be anything out there. This will generate that. This will change that. If they are able to do it. Now, I still think it's years down the road because of all the logistics and how the city, I'm assuming, will have some sort of counter argument to this. But I don't know if they can, but I'm assuming that they will have some sort of fight back for this and all the, it's years down the road. But however, if you think about it, like practically, there is a lot of sense that it would make.
Yeah, absolutely. Like part of me is still shocked, stunned mm-hmm. that the McCaskies would go down this route. Like I've talked to George McCaskey about this. Now this was a few years ago, but there is something special to that family about being literally in the city of Chicago to play their football
yeah.
games. They love that. They love being on the lakefront. They love seeing the skyline. You know, if you
it's
sit,
so cool.
Right. Yeah. It's the ambiance. It's part of being in the city of Chicago. That's I think that's special. Like when you have ESPN and all these national broadcasts that come in, I can't imagine, you know, them going over, you know, Hoffman Estates and Schaumburg.
Right.
Again, those are northwest suburbs of Chicago. Like it doesn't bring the same feel as the lakefront, as the skyline of the city of Chicago. But Deion, like it's a lot of things you just said. We've been to Green Bay.
Yeah.
We've been to Minneapolis. We go to Detroit. We've been out to the San Francisco 49ers new stadium, which isn't in San Francisco. Those stadiums are so nice.
They're so
nice, uh-huh. so modern. They can host Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there ever is going to be one up in Green Bay, but they can host a Super Bowl if they wanted to. Political poll. That stadium is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Minneapolis.
Oh.
Is stunningly beautiful. Mm-hmm. These modern stadiums change things. And so the landscape has changed in the NFL. So if the McCaskey family is really interested in hosting a Super Bowl, really interested in, you know, increasing the value of their franchise.
Yeah.
Owning their own stadium, which is crazy to think about. Like they're the only team not to own their own stadium. I'm like, this
Correct.
Is the next step for the McCaskey yeah. family. Now I'm still shocked by it. But that's the next step here.
I'm shocked that they're the ones who told us that they put the bid in. I figured someone in news or somewhere in our city would be the one saying reportedly, not a statement coming straight from Ted Phillips on an orange background on Twitter. Like, we are the Bears and we are saying this out loud. And I think that that is what caught a lot of people off guard. And again, the timing of it, I'm sure it was strategic for them, because there is no access to anybody at Hallis Hall now until training camp. But I also think that it was very bold of them to come out and just and say, look, this is what we're doing. We have a plan. This is all part of whatever that plan may be, I guess.
That's why it feels different too. Yeah. Right? Like, because the Bears have used Arlington in the past that in terms or like for their negotiations with Soldier Field, like to get a better deal with the city of Chicago. It's the Chicago Park District that owns and operates Soldier Field. And yeah, the Bears have used potential moves to change the leverage in those negotiations. But the statement, the landscape of the NFL just makes this feel different. Like these modern stadiums that have greater seating capacities, that have everything you could possibly dream of if you're a football fan. Like, that changes things for the McCaskey family. Mm-hmm. They see it. They've been to Green Bay. They've been to Minneapolis. They've been all over, you know, all over America seeing these modern NFL stadiums, these modern, you know, these modern college stadiums. And it changes things. It should change things at Hallis Hall.
I will say this, that I don't know the McCaskeys super well, but what I know of George is he's not just competitive on the field. He's competitive off of it. They take so much pride in the Bears' place in football history, and being one of the original teams. They're competitive in this realm too. They have to be, and they know they walk around Soldier Field and they don't see any of those modern amenities. They don't have that same experience there. They want that. They deserve it. And they can make this choice. So that is why it feels different. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a different era of football. And again, they could be the most valuable franchise in the NFL if they own their own stadium. They're already amongst the highest in terms of overall value.
Yeah.
If you follow that Forbes list that comes out every year,
mm-hmm,
their own stadium would change everything. Founding franchise, the money that comes in and out of Chicago. It would change the dynamics. We'll see what, you know, Chicago's Mayor Lori Lightfoot has for an answer, but I don't know. I could see I'm still shocked to be talking about this. Like, it doesn't feel real. I think it only feel real when they break ground on such a thing. Because, again, you know how much they value being in Chicago, but the landscape is just so different.
So different.
And again, if you're not from Chicago, that piece of property in Arlington Heights is enormous. It is quite easy to get to. I get if you're a fan in Northwest Indiana or the South Suburbs, it's not easy to get to. But Soldier Field's not easy to get to.
No.
It's kind of like an island all into itself. And even from like a financial standpoint, the Bears can host their own concerts. They can host Final Fours. Yes. So many things open up for that franchise.
So many things. And it's, I think it would be exciting to see what they would come up with, like a plan that they would come up with and opening that up. And for a fan base that is so supportive and loyal. I mean, we can talk about Bear weather being some sort of an advantage, but you cannot tell me that sitting out there miserable, freezing your patootie off is somehow a more luxurious football experience than being in a controlled environment where the temperature, the roof is closed, you're at 70 degrees, you're comfortable, you're cheering, you don't have stuff, you're not wearing 25 layers, you can feel all your extremities. That to me would be a lot more fun. Now, if they also have a franchise quarterback, now we're talking about the level the McCaskeys want to be at.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you're good at this, Dion. You're good. Not your first Holger Johns podcast. Bears fans, they deserve a modern stadium.
Yeah.
Now, wherever that is can be debated, but they deserve a modern stadium. It is just time, especially if they go around the league. And they travel quite well. Mm-hmm. Bears fans always have. So they've been in all these modern stadiums from California to New York. They know what it looks like. Bears fans deserve that. Mm-hmm. They also deserve that franchise quarterback, Deion. So let's go to Justin Fields a little bit today. Today was the last time we'll talk to him until training camp. Pretty good day overall for him, at least ended on a good note in the red zone drills. What have you thought? What have you seen over 3 days, even more days, during organized OTAs, organized team activities? Mini camp wraps up today. There is rookie mini camp. What have you been impressed most with Justin Fields?
You know, the thing that I've noticed, all right, full disclosure, Buckeye fan. Okay. So this is not the first time I've laid eyes on Justin Fields, nor is it the first time I've been excited that he's on a team that I'm somehow associated with. So I had a little bit of bias coming in, but one thing that I've really appreciated about his transition right now is that so many of his rookie teammates and people who've been around him is that he seems like he's all business. It seems like he's all business. He's out there to do, he's not like Tevin Jenkins. He's not goofing around. He's not showing that side of his personality so much. It's about, look, I'm here to do a job. And even the things we've heard from Matt Nagy is that he's reading through the plays. He's reciting the plays. He's working alongside Flip. He's taking every criticism, every positive critique, anything he's getting from them, and he's utilizing it and he's making a difference. Today after practice, the first thing Nagy said was he's out there right now talking to our tight ends because the way that wrapped up with them, a play they went through didn't work out. He wants to communicate. Why did that not work? And how can I learn from that and make sure it doesn't happen again? And I'm sure Mitch Trubisky did these same things. But then when you also hear guys like Jalen Johnson and other receivers saying, like, you can just tell, like, when the ball's in the air, it's just a natural ability. His arm is so, it's all just coming so natural for him. And that was never there with Trubisky. It's not been there for a very long time. And so that is reason why I feel like Bears fans should be very, very excited about where Justin Fields is now. And even his attitude. Saying, look, I would love to win the starting job. I don't think he even thinks he's ready. No one should think he's ready in June. But at the same time, he's saying, you know, I believe in the plan that they have set for me. So they must have spelled something out for him, maybe in more detail than even we're getting, as to how they plan to groom him. I just have said over and over again that I truly hope that this blueprint for him is not so, they're so determined to follow the same thing that went on with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, knowing that these are two very different quarterbacks than that. Andy Dalton might have a great year. He might only make it to week 3 or 4. We don't know. And we don't know what Justin Fields is going to be in relation to Patrick Mahomes as a generational talent. So I hope that they're not just so determined to follow that plan that they miss the progress he's making maybe quicker than they anticipated. That's my only concern.
I'm talking to Deion Miller here from ABC Channel 7 in Chicago. You can follow her at DMillerABC7. Longtime friend, one of the best friends of the podcast, I should say. What strikes me about Justin Fields is just how, like, some of the stuff you said, like the way he talks about himself, mm-hmm. he just seems built for this.
Yeah.
Like the way he carries himself. He throws an interception in the red zone to Christian Jones, a backup linebacker, makes a bad mistake, ugly interception. And then he comes back and it's touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. I think he missed his final throw in the red zone drills, which went from 7-on-7 to full team drills. But you see these flashes, and yeah. It's a lot more flashes than we saw from Mitch Trubisky. Some of these balls that Justin Fields has thrown have been pretty. Mm-hmm. That Ryan Nall touchdown today, pretty. He hit Demir Bird, on a, gosh, what type of route was it? But it was near the sideline. Just a pretty pass. Yeah. That was on Wednesday. You see these flashes. You see the arm talent. You got to keep that in context. But at the same time, like, you could feel the excitement about mm-hmm. this kid, and you feel the Bears doing their best to contain themselves while sticking to this plan.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it gets, I like hearing Nagy get excited about what he sees, but also then try to even reel himself in. And I know he spent a lot of this week convincing us that Andy Dalton is QB1, Justin Fields is QB2. Like, there's not even a question here. We're not even going to entertain the thought. But I do think he does have to contain his excitement too, because he's seeing on the field finally someone behind center who can do what his offense is meant to do. Like, he's seeing the potential there to kind of open that playbook in a way that he's not been able to with Mitch. And this is his guy. Let's like make no mistake about it. This is Matt Nagy's quarterback. This is the one that he can have his fingerprints all over. And that's exciting for someone who loves that position as much as Nagy does. But the thing I worry about the most as well, I mean, I think I have a lot of worries about the whole thing, but there've been so many plans that the Bears have had that have been the wrong plan, right? And it hasn't come to fruition. So like trusting this plan that at this point is just a four-letter word that they keep talking about. We don't know all the details of. It's hard. I can imagine as the fan base to be so on board with, oh, we trust what they're going to do. They don't have a track record that shows that we can trust that. You know, Mike Glennon, Mitch Trubisky, Matt calling the plays, Matt not calling the plays, it just so many things that it's like, we got to figure out, we were spending so much time figuring out the why that I don't know that we ever got anywhere. And so I feel like there is some skepticism as far as that goes, but to have a quarterback with the kind of talent and attitude and approach that Justin Fields has, I mean, fans should be excited. You should be excited from draft day until he takes the field, whenever that may be.
Yeah. And Justin Fields feels that excitement as well. He's been recognized once or twice out and about. He was cheered, not booed, but cheered at the Cubs game. I always go back to that. Like, Mitch Trubisky was booed at the Bulls game, and here's Justin Fields getting a partial standing ovation at Wrigley. Yeah,
that overwhelmed him. He was like, it went longer than I thought it would.
Yes. To the point, like, first of all, like, the fans had to, like, find him in the stadium. He's just no longer in the Jumbotron. They want to see him in person. There he is in the suite, first row of the suite. Stands up, you know, gives a nod. Trubisky didn't have that. This town is ready to embrace Justin Fields. You could feel it. And I get what you're saying about the plan. Mm-hmm. I really do. I do feel it's like on Justin Fields to change that plan. I just don't know what it's going to take. Like, how much, again, like, look at the homework assignment Matt Nagy has given Justin Fields for this break between minicamp and training camp. He's got to record himself into his phone and send those messages to John DeFilippo, Bill Lazor, and Matt Nagy himself, just so he can hear, so they can hear his voice inflection and how he's calling the plays in huddle. That's where they are with Justin Fields. That's how basic part of this plan is for him.
But it has to be, because of the way that, I mean, he even explained that, you know, at Ohio State, it was all signals and we weren't in the huddle the same way. And he's got to learn to project that side of his leadership, right? And that's what they want to hear. I kind of think it's cool. It's a tangible way to hear how he's grasping the offense. And that, I think, is really smart on their part. And it sounds like he is so into it that he finds that pretty cool. I mean, that's how it sounded. He was like, yeah, and I'm just recounting it. And standing with Flip, he's saying the words out loud as to what's going on in front of him. That, to me, is progress. And to hear even Fields say, I feel like I got better every single day of these workouts, and they've got another week as rookies to kind of get a little bit more comfortable before they break. I think this is valuable time. And to remember a year ago, Adam, we had none of this. We had none of this. And I'm so glad that he's coming in with this kind of pressure, not during a pandemic, where he's able to actually get on the field and make these relationships and connect and start taking those steps now, as opposed to pandemic rookies who really didn't have that opportunity. And I think missed out on some really valuable time.
Hey, if you're like me, an outfit, good or bad, can impact your entire day. Wearing a starchy shirt, that just doesn't feel good. You're not comfortable. It's hard to look good and feel good at the same time. But that's where Roan comes in, because men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces that work seamlessly together. Roan's signature four-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere, from your commute to work to even the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. My favorite Roan shirt is this white dress shirt. Looks like a dress shirt, but it also looks casual at the same time. It's got anti-odor technology. They call it Gold Fusion, and it doesn't get wrinkled. It stays fresh and clean all day long. No lingering odors or anything like that. The Commuter Collection is easy to care for while staying fresh and odor-free. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday, straight to whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/Adam. Use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Roan. That's RHONE.com/Adam. Use code Adam. It is time to find your corner office comfort.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
How do you feel about Nagy kind of explaining how the defense is limited in minicamp? Because we've seen a lot of big pass plays.
Yeah.
Now, the defense has had some interceptions. Kendall Vildor has had an outstanding minicamp. Outstanding minicamp. He had another pass breakup in single coverage in the end zone against Jimmy Graham. That is a significant size disadvantage for Vildor, and he won that. And the sideline loved it. But, like, I feel like Nagy's making it a point, like, to say that they're limited. But it's also, like, there's, like, another behind-the-scenes point where he's trying not to get too carried away by what the offense is doing because they've been successful. I mean, there are some plays today where there are some wide receivers wide open. Now, that's on the defense from blowing their coverage, but it's also on the offense for doing the right thing. And it just goes back to, like, keeping that context with Justin Fields. There is one play where he broke the pocket today and he hit Cole Kmet wide open in the back of the end zone with a laser. Now, I know there's no pass rush, but I'm pretty sure I made note of a defensive lineman reaching out to try to, you know, grab Justin Fields, and he escaped that pocket and he made that play. So I'm just curious what you think about Matt Nagy's concerted effort to maybe temper some of that excitement.
Well, I think that's part of his patience with the plan as well, and recognizing what time of year we're actually in. And I wondered, I think it was maybe it was last week when Fields threw that beautiful pass down the sidelines, and it was it was impressive, and everybody kind of audibly gasped, and it was wonderful. And I joked that Sean Desai ran out on the field and was like, "None of our starters are here. Everybody, calm down." And I think that that's also part of Nagy as well, is understanding that, like, the defense coming in is a lot of veteran guys. They're just in a different place than the offense is. And he has to quantify, has to point that out, because the offense is going to look a little bit probably better now because there's no pass rush and they're having more time to kind of, they've had more time together. They've been, most of them have been together for more than 3 days or 2.5. I feel like today was not like the longest mini camp practice, but 2.5 days. And the defense kind of just came and isn't even all together yet and ready for what they're doing. So I feel like that's part of the reason. But I agree with you. I think he has to kind of not get even himself too excited about what he's seeing at this time of the year when they don't even have pads on yet. We have to just kind of reel in our excitement a little bit.
Before I let you go, are there any other notes or observations maybe you've made or any other players that have stood out to you over this mini camp, especially with all the veterans here? I'm going to have my list on The Athletic. Some of the guys I have on, it's Cole Kmet, it's Marquise Goodwin, Darnell Mooney looks good. I thought Danny Trevathan, for a couple of days of practice, looked a bit quicker, at least than he did when training camp opened last year. That's the context I'm trying to keep. Of course, Justin Fields, for all the reasons we just talked about. How about you? Anybody else catch your eye?
Danny Trevathan today caught my eye. I agree with you. I think he started a little bit faster. As you were saying that, as even opposed to a year ago, you were mentioning Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, guys who didn't have this last year, right? So I think that that says a lot about it too. Like their excitement level to be out there this time of year and to have these opportunities to make mistakes. Jalen said that today. He's like, we didn't have that. We get to make those mistakes now and grow in those and learn from that at this point. And I think that's going to prove valuable for the first, the rookies and those second year players who are getting to experience this camaraderie for the first time. I worry though, that once we get to training camp, we're going to hear about how great the like chemistry and morale is with the whole team. And the defense didn't show up until mandatory mini camp. So I'm wondering what that might look like when training camp comes. That caught my attention. And I know I'm not the only one. It stood out to me more than I thought it would, because in years past, one player not being at offseason workouts was somehow a big headline. And I mean, they had, 10 starters that didn't show up regularly? That is significant when you have a new defensive coordinator. And even Eddie Jackson saying, Sean Desai's got us doing this, this, and this. He's like, well, I wasn't here, but I'm hearing that. It's like, I've heard good things. Right. So I'm interested to see how that does end up playing itself out. But I agree with you on Cole Kmet. I think he's made a big step. And I think his relationship with Jimmy Graham has helped with that tremendously, both on and off the field. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. And some of these guys are injured. Robert Quinn, I think we saw him for the first day of minicamp. Haven't seen him since. They need him.
That's a topic. I know they do.
They need him.
But that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
And
I'm still waiting for that to show up on the stat sheet somewhere.
More than two sacks is what you're talking about.
Please.
Bilal Nichols, didn't see him out there the past couple days.
Where's Eddie Goldman?
You're going to need him. Goldman? Yeah, I hate to go back to that conversation about, his fitness and stuff. But it's going to be up for debate until we see him on the field.
It's an issue until we see him. I mean, it's a question that has to be answered until he shows up. And Nagy seemed pretty confident that he would, but what gives him that indication? And he didn't seem to think it was a pandemic related reason that he decided to lose money over the last 3 days, 6 weeks, whatever it is. It's just a very curious situation that we're clearly not getting the full story on.
Yeah. Well, it gave a chance for the Bears' seventh round pick, Tonga. Mm-hmm. I like saying that name, to work with the first team. I know everybody was asking about that. But, Deion, thank you so much. Another successful fill-in for Adam Hoag. If you're listening, listening.
I know he's listening, too. Adam, I missed you. Genuinely. But so happy for your family.
Yes. We all are. Thank you, Deion.
Thank you.
We'll talk soon. Again, thank you to Deion Miller from ABC Channel 7 in Chicago. You can watch her on TV. I know many of us here in Chicago do exactly that. You can also follow her on Twitter at TheMillerABC7. Great stuff. That is it. Mini camp is over. I'll have my final notebook up online pretty soon. Might be up as you read this. A lot of impressive players. I think it's important to keep context and what we're seeing from the quarterbacks. But it's been a good start. We'll just say that for Justin Fields. And it's okay to be excited, maybe temper that a little bit, but the flashes are there. The plan is there. And you got to be patient with it because the Bears are trying to be patient with it. So you can read me at theathletic.com. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Hoag is on NBC Sports Chicago. Reach out to him on Twitter. Wish him all the best. Him and his family, Olivia, the best, at Adam Hoag, H-O-G-E. Check out our shirts on obviousshirts.com. Subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe everywhere. You listen to our podcast. Check out our Apple Podcasts. I'll have a Q&A up there later. And that's it. We'll be back next week for one final rundown of the offseason program. And before you know it, training camp will be here, Bears fans. See ya.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.